It's pretty clear in Sir John Chilcot's letter that he refers to this process whereby in a complicated, legally contentious inquiry like this, a number of people, politicians, officials' names are mentioned. They then have the right of reply over how they're referred to. This is a process called Maxwellisation, or nicknamed Maxwellisation. And that process has been ongoing over the past few months. And in his letter to the Prime Minister, he specifically cites the fact that some letters have not been received. And that's why things have been delayed. There was a sort of informal gate of the end of February, which all the parties agreed that if it came out in March or April, that would be too close to a general election anyway. And so what we've had today is the confirmation that they're not really going to finish those processes before the end of February. And so, in essence, Sir John has waved the white flag and said, we're not going to get it out before a general election.
The cynical view might be that it's very convenient, the fact that it's not coming out before the election.
Certainly, but you do have to ask the question of that, who actually is benefiting. It's an interesting exercise, this, just gaming out which politicians benefit from it not being published. It's essentially an inquiry which only covers the Labour Party in office. And clearly, they would have found some issues and problems with the basic trawling over what happened during a period where they were declining in popularity, where they made a decision that was not universally welcome, I think I can say, across the country, where there's a perception of untruths that the inquiry is meant to unearth. So I don't think anybody in Labour would exactly be crying at the prospect that this is not going to come out. Equally, though, I think, you know, if you're a Lib Dem, I think they, you know, you've seen the strength this morning of their attack on the idea it's not coming out. Nick Clegg coming out saying it's incomprehensible. Tim Farron, who's now the Foreign Affairs spokesman, describing it as a legal war. People must know why this happened. And yes, there's moral reasons why they say that. The Lib Dems still like to tout their opposition to the Iraq war as a symbol of their prescience and genius. And this would have been very helpful, I'm sure. I'm not sure they'd be able to carry round a Chilcot report and show it to every doorstep. But certainly, as the Lib Dems have been suffering in the polls, this is exactly the sort of thing that might remind the huge number of people that have switched from Lib Dems back to Labour and who originally went to the Lib Dems because of the Iraq war, to remind them about the Labour Party. That's not going to happen now. But I do think it's probably slightly cynical to imagine this is solely about, or even mainly about, party politics. There's a bigger thing here about trust in Westminster. This is going to dominate how we see the next election. And for the, you know, people, for ordinary voters, they will struggle to see why it has taken so long for this process not to come up with an answer to the question of why this war happened in such a cloudy way, essentially.
We do know that there is likely to be some information relating to the so-called secret conversations between Blair and Bush. What do we know about what might be revealed?
So if I can distill this dilemma down to one thing, it's essentially what we do know from the testimonies, and remember that's 3 or 4 years ago now, but what we do know is that there were severe question marks about the legality of Britain taking part in the war that seemed to disappear a few days before the war started, okay? And that process is the core of understanding the Chilcot report. Now, there were meetings between the Prime Minister and his counterpart in the White House, George Bush. There were meetings of the Attorney General in Washington too. We just don't know what happened then. And so getting accounts of the conversations and the notes passed between Number 10 and the White House has been key to this process. Now, a few months ago, we heard that Chilcot had agreed that the gist of conversations between Mr. Blair and Mr. Bush would be communicated in the report, but not the actual words. They didn't want to sort of create diplomatic embarrassment with a major foreign power, obviously. What we've heard today is that the notes that Prime Minister Blair wrote to George Bush. 29 of those will be published with only a small number of redactions. So those documents we will get, and they will be fascinating for historians, and they'll be fascinating for the many thousands of people, relatives of soldiers that were injured or passed away, people that protested, that want to know exactly the sequence of events that led Britain into assessing that this conflict was legal and then participating in it. And so those 29 notes will be the focus of a lot of attention. And we found out today that the Cabinet Secretary, Sir Jeremy Hayward, had agreed for their release, slightly redacted. But we'll obviously have to wait for the inquiry to report, whenever that is, for those documents to be made available to the public.